Amen and amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4. Miss Vera, can I get you to give me just a little bit more microphone? My voice is just not what it usually is this morning. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. Let me, before we get into the Word, because I may need to make a quick 180 here and preach something else this morning, but I need to ask a couple of questions prior to getting into the Word. First of all, and you don't need to answer this out loud or anything, but if you look back at your life and you think about all the times that you've gotten in trouble, okay, all the times that you got in trouble, whether that was whenever you were a child, whenever you were an adult, teenager, whatever, all the times you've gotten in trouble, what was the thing that got you into trouble most often? Okay, don't answer out loud. Just think, okay, the common denominator here, the thing that got me in trouble most often is this, all right? Now, next thing is, how many of you have ever gotten, and I know y'all are going to be looking at me kind of weird this morning, but how many of you have ever gotten underwear for Christmas? Is that all? Man, I thought that was the way, I thought underwear was mandatory at Christmas. Now, here's the thing about underwear for Christmas. Are y'all ready for this? It's not something necessarily that you want, but it's something that you need. Amen? Because by the time Christmas rolled around, my underwear was spiritual. You know what I'm saying? It's called holy underwear. Amen? And so whenever Christmas came along, you know, I would have rather had a lot of different things, but that underwear was nice. It's really nice to put on a brand new pair of socks that are all soft and cushy, you know, not the ones that have been washed 2012 times that are just almost so thin you got a toe escaping, you know what I'm saying? You need it, but it's not something necessarily that you want. You know, very seldom do kids ever write a letter to Santa Claus and ask him, "Dear Santa Claus, please bring me underwear." Y'all with me? Okay, so two things. What's got you in trouble most, and have you ever got underwear for Christmas? Okay, so let's read the scripture this morning. I'm going to read it out of the NIV. This is Ephesians chapter 4, and the reason that I'm preaching this message this morning is perhaps not because we want it, but because we need it. Ephesians chapter 4, let's skip all the way to verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Now this morning, I realize that there are many of us in this room that are packing. Y'all understand what packing means, right? We're living in the South. So packing means that you brought with you to church a deadly weapon. Guilty. Brought with you to church a deadly weapon. Now, for the purposes of security, for the purposes of safety, probably we should have had our ushers ask you to check your deadly weapons at the door back there. But we really couldn't because these deadly weapons are attached. It's the deadly weapon of the tongue. How many of y'all know that your tongue is a deadly weapon? Whenever the Holy Spirit began to deal with me about this message, one of the questions that came to my life was, what got me in trouble most often through the course of my 56 years? And I got to just tell you right up front, hands down, by far, my tongue has got me in more trouble than any other thing in my whole life. My tongue has caused me more grief than I can ever even describe to you. I got to tell you something. It's probably 80-20. 80% of the trouble that I've ever got in was because of my tongue. I got to tell you, whenever I was growing up, I was a smart aleck. I mean a smart aleck. I still am, but most of it's just in my mind. Now remember, I said most of it, okay? I always think of those sharp little things that I can say, and Used to, I didn't just think of them, I said them. Our tongues are deadly weapons. The Bible tells us in James that our tongues are a weapon, and it calls it a raging fire and untamable. It says that our tongue is full, listen to this, of deadly poison. That's what it says our tongue is, full of deadly poison. In Proverbs 18:21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's pretty serious right there. When you start thinking about that, it's death and life. And so the Apostle Paul was very passionate about whether or not we set a good example for others and whether or not we use our words in the way that accurately reflects the God that is inside of us. I mean, is what's coming out of our mouth, does it tell people around us that God is living on the inside of us? And so this passage that we read teaches us that Christians' walk is continually repeating this two-step process. How many of y'all know that? Christianity is really easy. Christianity, whenever you get born again, it's a two-step process. A two-step process, and you just do it every day, every day, every day. You know what that two-step process is? It's putting off the old habits and putting on the new habits. The new habits, the new behaviors, the new attitudes. The new attitudes, the new behaviors that please God. And so in this passage, the Apostle Paul gives us this two-step process. It dives into detail regarding the most important things that we need to know about how to communicate as a Christian. How many of y'all know that whenever we are communicating, whether it be with our family, friends, or just someone that we don't even know, but we encounter them at the store or at the restaurant or whatever, we need to be communicating with them as a Christian should communicate with one another. How many of y'all know Christian communicate? I'm seeing a lot of faces that are happy this morning. Now remember, I'm not preaching this because we wanted it. I'm preaching this because we needed it. Amen? So as we go along, these y'all out there's going, oh, I don't like this already. As a Christian, we ought to communicate like Christians communicate. There's two different kinds of communication in the world. Has any of you ever been around an unbeliever and heard them communicate? That's where you need one of them little buttons. Beep, 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 beep. It's two different ways of communicating. And it doesn't mean you're just using foul language, because how many of you all know you can hurt people without using foul language? Amen? You can offend people without using foul language. Paul says that as Christians, that it's imperative that we put off the unwholesome talk, is the way he puts it. The unwholesome talk. So what is he getting at? In Paul's day, the word translates from the Greek, unwholesome. It says that it's corrupt. It was used to describe, listen to this. It's used to describe fish that's gone bad. So he says, listen, put off the unwholesome talk. He said, don't be talking in an unwholesome way. Because it's like fish that have gone bad. It's like fruit that's gotten rotten. And that's what he compares our mouth to whenever it's not wholesome. So unwholesome communication refers to that worthless speech, when in some way we got to realize that worthless speech, it's decayed speech, it's diseased, it's disgusting. It can include all kinds of things. Obscene talk. You ever been around anybody that told an obscene joke? I've been there. Anybody ever been around somebody to use kind of a crude or vulgar talk? We don't do that anymore, yes? But what about, has anybody ever been around someone who gossiped? I'm not even looking. Has anybody been around someone who was gossiping and you looked around and you were the only one in the room? Okay, never mind. Idle rooming. Idle rumors are sarcastic jabs, slander, profanity, undeserved harsh criticism. There's all kinds of ways that all of these things fit into this unwholesome communication that the Apostle Paul is talking about. The picture here is that a lot of rotten words coming out of the same mouth that blesses God. He says, guys, don't let this kind of talk come out of your mouth. Because one moment we're blessing God, and the next moment our mouth is being used in an unwholesome way. So We got to deal with the symptoms. Dealing with the symptoms include two things. First of all, to avoid and stop any unwholesome talk. To avoid it and stop it. So wouldn't it be nice if God would appoint you the stopper of unwholesome talk in someone else's life? Years ago on Cheers, and I know that this is probably not a good thing to bring up, but it was just a hilarious skit. Cliff, the mailman, he was having problems with something, and so he went to a psychiatrist, and they fitted him with some kind of shocking device that whenever he said something wrong, they would push the button and shock him. So he gave it to one of his friends, and so he's sitting there, and he says it, and he looked at him, and he gave him a thumbs up, you know. Thank you for doing that, because he was trying to stop him from saying that he shouldn't be saying. Well, the skit got hilarious because the guy just starts shocking him with everything. And he's trying to take the shocker away from him, and it was crazy. But how many of you would like to have one of those shockers for someone that you know? Yeah! Would that not be hilarious? Okay. So now, how many of you would be willing to give one of those shockers to somebody you know to use on yourself? Nope. Unfortunately, we can't do that. But think about this. These are the things that the Apostle Paul is trying to get across to us. He says, guys, avoid it. Stop it. Any kind of unwholesome talk. And so, you know, that's extrinsic motivation to get a shock collar on us. And every time we say something inappropriate, anytime we say something unwholesome, we get a shock from it. Folks, this has got to come from the inside of us. We've got to make up our minds that what comes out of our mouth is not going to be communication that is unfit for a Christian to say. And this is what I got to know. I don't necessarily want this message, but I need this message. Second thing is we don't only avoid it, we don't only stop that unwholesome communication, but we begin to speak what is helpful for building up others. Begin to speak what is helpful for building up others. And this is what I'm going to tell you. If you go around building up others all the time, you're just building up. I'm saying, I'm gonna build up some people today with what I say out of my mouth. I'll tell you this, you will have less and less time to speak anything unwholesome out of your mouth. Unfortunately, whenever we get around some people, though, have you ever noticed this? It's really difficult to say something that builds them up. You look at them and you go, man, you are a mess. I know what y'all are thinking even before I preach this thing. Folks, we can find something good about everybody. Come on. Come on. You got pretty eyes. They're round. Folks, we sometimes you got to dig a little bit deeper, but we can find something to build someone up no matter what kind of person they are. Come on. We can. And so that's what we got to do. We got to avoid it. We got to stop the unwholesome talk. And then we've got to begin to replace that with building others up, being helpful to them. Paul gives us three guidelines for Christ-like conversation, three questions to ask ourselves so that we can evaluate our words and the effect that they might have on others. And so here they are, three different things that the Apostle Paul gives us. He says, are my words helpful? Are my words helpful? What I'm fixing to say, is it going to be helpful? What I say, is it going to help them or is it going to hurt them? Do they do the person good that I'm fixing to say it to? Or does it damage someone? Does it discourage him in some way? So you've got to ask yourself the question. And I know sometimes, see, what I'm giving you guys is a time-consuming process. And most often, I don't have the time to sit back and to evaluate what I'm fixing to say. I just, anybody like that with me? But what we have to do is we have to encourage ourselves to say, listen, I got to take a second before I speak and ask some questions about what it is that's fixing to come out of my mouth. And I'm looking at some people that I know are just like me. That's hard to do. because I like to speak and then think about it later. Anybody besides me? So you got to ask yourself, are my words helpful? Second thing you got to do, are my words constructive? Do they build up that person I'm talking to, and does it encourage them, or does it tear them down in some way? Number three, are my words needful? This is what I've come to the conclusion. So many of my words do not need to be spoken. Last night before I went to bed, I turned in rather early. I walked into my son's bedroom and I said, Caleb, me and your mom are going to bed. And I said, you probably should get to bed pretty early tonight. I turned around and I walked out of the room. And as I'm walking down the hallway, I realized that I had totally and completely wasted my breath. You should get to bed early tonight did not even compute with him. He was busy doing something, and I know I got up at 1:30, and I'm pretty sure he was still up, had not even gone to bed yet. I'd already gone to bed and got up. Some words, now please don't misunderstand me, directing your kids to do the things they need to do, you got to do that. But sometimes we don't need to say what we say. And everyone said, amen. Sometimes we're very careless with our words. Sometimes we say things in such a way that it hinders other people in their walk with God. You can't know how many times as a pastor I've had to smooth out things that people have said to other believers. You can't know how many times, and this is usually what I say. I say, well, they probably didn't mean it. There's been a few times I've said they absolutely meant it. They're mean and nasty people. No, I'm just kidding. I've never said that. Sometimes we hurt other people with what people I know said things about Jesus whenever he was here on earth. Think about it. You know they did. I mean, man, whenever he came back to Nazareth after he had gone into the ministry, you got to think, you know, what were they saying? Now, this is just Joseph's son. How in the world could he be the Messiah? I seen him out running around in diapers, for heaven's sake. No way. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? Jesus dealt with it, and we know that Jesus dealt with it in the right way. But understand this. Do the words that are fixing to come out of our mouth, are they needful? Sometimes they injure, sometimes they damage, sometimes they ruin relationships. Can I just make sure all of us know this? More relationships have been destroyed over words that were spoken than any other thing that has damaged relationships. It's words. It's words. Usually whenever I'm trying to break up a fight between a husband and a wife, so on and so forth, and they're in my office, I got to tell you, this is what they say. They say, he said this to me. I cannot believe he said it. And then I get him in the office, she said this to me. Very seldom do I get somebody comes into my office and said, he did this to me. Stabbed me 3 times. I don't ever get that. It's just somebody said this. Somebody said this. It's words. And so we've got to very carefully assess whether or not those words are words that are going to help, or are they going to hinder? Are they going to make a friend, or are they going to damage a relationship? Is it helpful? Is it constructive? Is it needful? Now, one of the things that I've got to say here, how do I say this right? God's not calling us to repress the truth, okay? God's not calling us to repress the truth. And so sometimes we've got to tell people the truth. Do something like, you want a mint? Okay, good. I have no idea if that really is true, that he needs a mint. But y'all understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we need to be honest with people, but the one thing that we've got to know is that we always have to be honest and do it with love. Sometimes God is going to direct us to go to somebody and talk to them and talk to them straight. Y'all understand what I'm saying? This is not a sermon about, oh, we can't say anything to anybody because it might hurt their feelings, folks. I got to tell you something. Some of the toughest things that have ever happened in my life has been whenever people have come to me and told me the truth. Come on. And I didn't like it right up front. I didn't just giggle and go, oh, I'm so glad you're saying that about me. But whenever the Holy Spirit got a hold of it, and I knew it was brought to me in love, because the individuals that came to me were not people that I didn't respect. They were people that I highly respected. Are y'all there with me? And it was people that had proven their character to me over and over and over. They weren't somebody that picked me apart with little things. But whenever they came to me, their character had already spoken volumes before they ever came to me. They said, listen, I got to talk to you about something that's going on in your life, and it needs to stop. Are y'all there with me? So understand this. God may send us to somebody. Sometimes we've got to talk to people and we've got to tell them the truth about where it is, where they are. But understand, it's got to be in love. And don't just come to them and say, you need a mint, and walk away, or whatever else they might need. Understand this. Encourage them. Pray for them. Do it in love. Can I also tell you this? Before you give them a mint, ask them some questions about whether or not they need that mint. Did you brush your teeth today? I mean, you could be taking a mint to somebody and say, man, you need this really bad. You better have a couple of these. And they said, man, I just had oral surgery yesterday. Y'all with me? And I'm using the mint as an example. But you got to understand, sometimes people act the way they do. They do the things that they do because of a specific reason in their lives. Come on. That's what love is. You go in and you ask them a few questions. Say, listen, can I talk to you about something that I've noticed? And I don't know if you're aware of this or you may not be aware of it, but it's just something I just feel like I need to just ask a couple questions. Would you just give me a couple minutes? Ask them some questions. Love them. Don't just say, you need a mint. Your breath smells like hoo-hoo. Sometimes saying something kind of snidey, is that a word, snidey? It is now. You know, that little snidey remark. Okay, everybody look at me. Is anybody in this room ever tempted to just say something snidey besides myself? Okay, 4, 5 honest people. Okay. I'm there. I mean, man, something's going on, and it's just right there. It's just fixing to come out. My brain has already run over 3 or 4 times, and I'm ready to say that little snidey remark. You know, that's where we've got to begin to look at every temptation. Every kind of temptation that would be to speak a word that condemns or accuses or criticizes or gossips somebody. We've got to look at every time, and we got to be able to catch ourselves before we ever say something mean, before we ever say something snidey. And that's whenever you say, this is my opportunity to put off the old and put on the new. Instead of saying something mean, instead of something snidey, I like that word. We say, listen, I'm going to say something that's constructive. I'm going to say something needful. You used to have a young man that worked in our children's department, and this guy, I thought he was fake to begin with because he was so kind and nice and complimentary to people that he almost was like plastic. Does that make any sense? I mean, he was just always just complimenting you. I'd come in, oh, Pastor, you look so good today. Man, is that a new suit? You know what I mean? He did it to everybody. And I thought, oh, man, this guy is so phony. But as I got to know him, I found out he wasn't phony. He did it to everybody. He was just such a loving, such a kind of man that just looked for every kind of detail in your life to compliment you. He loved you. He just wanted to build you up, just make you, whenever you left Irwin's presence, man, it was just like, I feel pretty good about myself today. He said, I look good. I mean, how many of you all would rather have a compliment than a snidey remark? I like snidey. That's going to fit. You're going to take that home. I'd rather have it. So here's my opportunity. I'm not going to say something snidey. I'm going to say something that builds people up, something that's constructive, something that's helpful, something that's needful. So you begin to say, well, okay, Pastor, why should I do that? Why? Because I really like the way I talk now. I love to dig people. Some of y'all go, that's not me, but it's my husband. So why it's important? The Apostle Paul tells us. He says, it's to stay in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Verse number 30 gives us this reason. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, to whom you have been sealed for the day of redemption. To grieve a person means to deeply hurt them, to hurt their feelings, to bring inner sorrow and emotional pain to their heart. So whenever you and I use that unwholesome type speech that the Apostle Paul is talking about, those unwholesome words, we grieve the Holy Spirit that lives within us. So whenever you grieve the Holy Spirit, well, what does he do? Does he pack his bags? You say, well, you're ugly and your mother's ugly and so is your grandmother. And you've said that unwholesome thing that's come out of your mouth. Does the Holy Spirit goes, oh, that's grieving me. And he just starts putting the clothes in his suitcase. He said, I'm leaving this. I'm not staying here. That guy is unwholesome talk is coming out of his mouth. Is that what happens? No. Doesn't happen like that. You see, you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. The seal is both God's mark of ownership on your life, and it is also your guarantee of his love, his desire to be in relationship with you. In the business world, a seal means a whole lot. Amen? I mean, whenever you stamp that seal of the company that you work for or the state that you work for, it's important. And so God seals us. God says that as a Christian, he sealed you with the Holy Spirit into the day of redemption, which is whenever Jesus Christ is going to return and give you that resurrected body. So think about this. How do you grieve the Holy Spirit? Well, folks, it's kind of like this. Okay, husbands and wives, I'm going to talk to you for a minute. Have you ever gotten in a fight with your spouse? And the answer is yes. Yeah. Okay. So, okay, I'll kind of tell you how it happens at my house. It hasn't happened like this in a long time. A week. But anyway, Renee says something really stupid. And, oh, never mind. I say something really stupid. And then we go back and forth. Stupid, 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 stupid. And pretty soon some of you, I know many of you don't know my wife, but, you know, she's this little thing. And everybody looks at her and she's, oh, she's so sweet. She's so gentle. Man, she has got a temper that's worse than mine sometimes. Stubborn, because she's kin to her father, Charlie Jones, okay? So, I am. Oh, my goodness gracious. You talk about stubborn, temper, so on and so forth. And so, all of a sudden, we're having a fight, okay? And what that fight does is it damages our relationship, okay? Usually, I would sit next to her on the couch whenever I came into the living room. Not now. No. In fact, I'm going to go out to the shop and work. Or maybe the barn, because that's farther from you. Oh, and whenever supper's ready, by the way, I'm not eating. I'll punish you, woman. Not eating. I'm not coming in and eating the same table that you're eating at. See, our relationship's damaged. Are y'all there with me? I mean, when we go to bed that night, I ain't sleeping on the couch. She's not sleeping on the couch. And so what we do is we get on that queen-size bed, and we put absolutely the most room that you can possibly put between two human beings and still be on the bed. The middle of the bed is it's still made up. It's the sides of the beds. Right there, that little three-inch corner. Man, God forbid she reaches over and touches me with her foot or something, man. I say, I'll bite that thing off if it comes back over here. Are y'all with me? You see, that's what happens. It damages our relationship with the Holy Spirit. We don't have that fellowship. We don't have that community. We don't have that love relationship because it grieves him whenever speech comes out of our mouth that is unwholesome. And you guys go, Pastor, you're making a big deal out of the way we talk. No, God is making a big deal out of the way we talk. He's making a big deal. Man, this is, I'm telling you, this is not the only place in the Bible that talks about the speech that comes out of our mouth. He's making a big deal because it is a big deal. I've gotten in more trouble over the things that have come out of my mouth than any other thing, times two or times three. My hands don't hardly ever get me in trouble, but my mouth does. I'm going to have to do some explaining whenever I get home about the fight that Renee and I just... Because she's listening right now. She's going to go, you know it ain't like that. I didn't say something stupid. So I'll probably be sleeping on the opposite side of the bed tonight. Be out in the shop all afternoon. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. And we've got to understand that there are consequences of grieving the Holy Spirit. I can remember whenever God called me into adult ministry, called me to be a senior pastor, I told him no. I was a children's pastor. That's all I wanted to be. I came to the place where I had this amazing church that I was part of, and I didn't want to move. And God says, I want you to be a senior pastor. I said, no. I said, I'm not going to be. Go find somebody else. And I got to tell you, for about 6 weeks, I was most miserable because I could not talk to God like I normally talk to God. I was out of fellowship with him. I was sleeping on one side of the bed. He was on the other side. Are y'all? He was in the shop. He didn't pack his bags and leave. I didn't come in, say, Renee, you said something awful. I'm taking all my luggage. I'm going. It just damaged our relationship. Grieving the Spirit results in us having a temporary loss of fellowship with God. So that's why we got, can I just tell you this? Please don't misunderstand what I'm fixing to say here. Because I think whenever we hurt people with our words, whenever we tear down people, whenever we gossip about people, I think that's terrible. We shouldn't do it, okay? But I think what we do with God is so much more important than how we affect people with our words. Come on. The Bible says we grieve the Holy Spirit with our words. So we kind of take a moment, I think, and deal with what I believe is the root cause of our speech patterns, what causes the unwholesome talk to come out of, what causes us to make snidey remarks, okay? And this is verse 31 and 32. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. So we are to get rid of all of the causes of this unwholesome talk that comes out of our mouth. We are to imitate the life of Jesus Christ. In verse number 31, the Apostle Paul gives us six attitudes. And may I say this, I think that there's six ugly attitudes. And so I'm going to go through them very quickly. First of all, the word bitterness. The word bitterness, has anybody in this room ever been bitter? See, that describes me whenever I'm on the edge of the bed. That describes me whenever I'm out in the shop. That describes me whenever I said, I'm not eating. And I got to tell you something, I got to be pretty mad before I say I'm not eating. I got to be very mad. That's whenever I say, I ain't eating, but I got to go to Lowe's and buy something for the shop, and I stop by a drive-up window somewhere. Like I said, whenever I get home, I got some explaining to do. Six ugly attitudes. First, bitterness. Bitterness speaks of a sour spirit, an irritable, a negative, a cynical outlook towards life that produces very hard, very harsh opinions of people. It is a resentful attitude of the heart that refuses to let go of grievances and be reconciled. Bitterness. Folks, I got to tell you, I preached a whole series of sermons on bitterness, the root of bitterness in our lives. Bitterness today, I am absolutely convinced of this, causes more health problems than any one single thing that is out there today. You cannot be bitter and be healthy spiritually or physically. Come on, I'm just telling you. Bitterness, man, is something that just ruins you. And I got to say, whenever you're around somebody that's bitter, you can hear it in the words they speak. Come on. My middle brother raised a stepdaughter. She was very, very little whenever they got married, and she grew up, and she got involved with the wrong crowd. Are y'all there with me? She went back to her dad's home, and literally her and her boyfriend broke into my brother's house and stole a bunch of stuff from him. And I got to be honest with you, my middle brother was one of the most bitter human beings I've ever been around. Every time for years and years that followed, he would tell me how horrible his stepdaughter was. Now, here's the thing. A few years ago, they found her in a hotel room dead from an overdose. And my brother said to me, he said, "That's karma. That's what she gets for breaking into my house." I got to tell you something, folks. Nothing would cause a human being to say that about another human being outside of bitterness. That's what it was. And folks, I got to tell you something. It was just stuff that they took. It was just stuff. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not defending her breaking in and stealing. But bitterness, you got to let it go. Got to come to a place where it's to say, man, it's just stuff. It's just stuff. Yeah, she was wrong. All of those things. You got to get rid of bitterness, because bitterness will cause you to talk out of where you shouldn't be talking. Number two, the word rage. It speaks of a passionate outburst of anger accompanied by some kind of explosion, and then hateful words and harsh behavior follows. Anybody ever been there where you had rage? I have had it up to here. And all of a sudden, blam, and it comes out. Man, you start filling up some ears. Are y'all there with me? It says get rid of all this stuff. Get rid of bitterness. Get rid of rage. The third one, it says the word anger refers to long-term, chronic, habitual hostility that continually boils and simmers within. So anger. You ever been around anybody that brought up something that happened 25 years ago and you're still guilty of it? Yeah, you remember 25 years ago whenever you did that to me? It's wrong. Wrong. I hold that against you today. Even today I do, buddy. No, it's 23 years ago, 3 months and 5 days. That's how long it goes. About 8 minutes, because it's almost 12 right now. That's what anger is, man. Anger, it's there. It's just always there underneath the surface until finally they get right in your face and all of a sudden that anger just bursts forward. Anger causes you to talk in an unholy manner, an unwholesome manner. The rage causes you. Bitterness causes you. The fourth thing is the word brawling. It describes a person getting so excited over a quarrel that he raises his voice and starts shouting loudly, yelling in order to intimidate or control them. It's not like you thought, was it? All right, let's go. Put up the fist. We're going. We're brawling. Get outside in the yard. I've been involved in a few brawls in my life, and not a punch was thrown with a fist, but they definitely were thrown with words. Fifth, the word slander refers to words spoken behind someone's back, which hurts them. It insults them. It defames them. It destroys their reputation through gossip and rumor. And I'm just so thankful that none of us in this room have ever been guilty of that. And so I'm going to move on quickly. Oh, wait a minute. I've got another line here. If we were really honest, most of us have probably been guilty of this over and over again. You see, this is one of those sins that it should get our attention because it's kind of a quiet sin. It's not like brawling and rage and anger. Rick, you know what I heard the other day about this guy? Hold on. Let me read it again. It's spoken behind someone's back. It hurts them. It insults them. It defames and destroys their reputation through gossip and rumor. It's a quiet sin, though. It should get our attention because it's a very subtle sin. It's not so obvious as the other sins. Can I just tell you something? I believe that is the sin that is most often dealt with in the church. Because, I mean, it's completely out of line to brawl in the church, right? Even though it's happened. I know of a church one time in the middle of a business meeting, they had to call 911, and the cops literally had to come and break up the deacons and the pastor. It wasn't here in Franklin. Okay. It wasn't here at Trinity. Okay. It's this quiet sin. I mean, let me read you a story. This is a true story. Several years ago, a man had a rather mild argument with his wife and then left to run some errands. When he came back several hours later, there were police cars in front of his house. While he was gone, his wife killed their two children and herself in a moment of despair. The police found out that a neighbor had instigated an ugly rumor that he had been unfaithful to his wife. His wife believed the gossip. It was more than she could take. To escape the pain and anguish, she removed herself and her two sons from the rumor's effect. The rumor was not true, yet the damage that was done, think about it. I mean, that's a true story. How often have we been guilty of this one, even if it wasn't as serious as this? This is one of the things that I really had to challenge my own self with. How often have I hurt others? How often have I hurt the work of God because I couldn't keep my mouth shut? See, that's really the whole basis of this message this morning. It's that one line right there. And if you're thinking, well, Pastor, what was the cause of this sermon? What brought this sermon about? It was because of something I said. And the Holy Spirit just began to deal with me. And out of that came this message. Think about this. How often have you hurt someone? How often have you hurt the work of God because of what it was that came out of your mouth? Now think about these, because these are a couple good sayings. Before a word is spoken, you are the master of it. After a word is spoken, it is the master of you. Man, that is profound. I didn't write it, obviously. Some Christians Okay, I'm going to go ahead and say it. Some Christians, you know, they kind of make gossip sound like it's not gossip by saying stuff like this. Oh, I want you to pray for so-and-so because this is what they're doing. Or they come alongside of you and say, I just can't keep this to myself any longer. I had to share it with some brother or sister, and you're the brother I picked. Come on. You guys are all going, never. You know it's true. Sometimes, folks, we don't need to tell everybody everything that we know. Sometimes we need to keep a secret. Keeping a secret sometimes in church is like trying to sneak daylight past a rooster. Somebody once said this, I can keep a secret, but the people I tell it to can't. I mean, looking back on my own lifetime, I can tell you that some of the biggest blunders that I've made in life are because of what I've said. This morning, I can't finish this message, and so I really believe that there needs to be a part two. And I know that you all are going to be looking forward to next week's message, because this one is like getting underwear for Christmas. But folks, I got to tell you, words are powerful. A fitly spoken word, the Bible says. A fitly spoken word is a picture of apples and fruit and gold and silver. A fitly spoken word. We've got to learn that there are two types of communication. There is a Christian kind of communication, and there is the world's kind of communication. You've got to understand, we have had it so bombard our lives on how it is that we should speak according to the culture that we live in. If you just look at the transition on television, on primetime television, you can remember back in the day whenever Father Knows Best, the Brady Bunch, they talked right to each other for the most part. But then you get a show comes along like Archie Bunker. What was the name of that? All in the Family. And all of a sudden, man, you hear people not speaking to one another correctly, and you move all the way up to The Simpsons and the various things that we got on TV now, and you can't find somebody that's talking to others the right way. Folks, of all the people, we ought to be speaking life into people, not death. We should be looking for that fitly spoken word that we can give to someone, because that's what God calls us to do. This is a big deal. It's not something that we can just dismiss and say, oh, pastor, he's just on his hobby horse today because God was dealing with him about his tongue. Folks, I'm telling you, God is dealing with us all about our tongues. The title of this message is called Taming Your Tongue. This morning, I'm going to tell you we've got to go a little further because I've skipped a bunch and we're going to have to incorporate it into the next message, but I believe God has something to speak to us, because if we can't even speak rightly to one another, how can we speak rightly to a world out there that needs Jesus Christ? Father, we love you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for this word. And Father, we just simply ask you to help us to be people who communicate rightly. Help us to be a people, Father God, that no unwholesome speech comes out of our mouth. Because the last thing I know, Lord God, because I know the people in this church, they don't want to grieve the Spirit of God that lives within them.